I should just tell you a little about my own background. I was born in a mining valley in South Wales, a mining village, working class community. And I realised I was gay, although we called ourselves queer then, different from queer now. And I went to London to university. And I went to London to university, partly because I wanted to go to that particular university, but also because I needed to escape the valley I came from. I loved my family loved me, but it was a very difficult place to be gay, to be different in any way, and especially to be gay. I mention all this as background because by the time I went to London as a student, I already knew that I was gay, although we didn't use the word then. And in fact, I was sexually active for the first few years I was in London, and I began to develop a circle of friends and so on. So there was no sense in which my gayness was denied in London of the late 60s. It was supposed to be swinging London. There was supposed to be a new attitude towards sexuality. There was certainly a greater willingness to discuss homosexuality after the law was liberalised in 1967, a very modest change in the law, but nevertheless symbolically important. So I could have a queer life in London without too much problem. But I was completely dissatisfied with my way of life. And in particular, I was dissatisfied with the realization that this was something absolutely central to my life that I couldn't be open about. It was impossible to be openly gay. So when the Gay Liberation Front started in October 1970, in the place I happened to be working in, I'd started working at the London School of Economics at the beginning of October 1970. It was a transformative moment for me. My involvement in the Gay Liberation Front, the Gay Liberation Movement, changed my life absolutely. I met new friends, I learned a new political vocabulary, changed my political position, I changed my home, and I met my first lover, all within the first month, 6 weeks. Of being involved in gay liberation. So in every sense, it was a transformative moment. And that's not simply because I met new people, but because of the particular elements of what gay liberation was at that moment. It was obviously influenced by the new gay liberation movement from the United States, the post-Stonewall gay liberation movement. But it also had many British characteristics. But what it did represent was a total view of the position of gayness in our society. We saw ourselves for the first time as an oppressed minority. We saw our identity as something that we needed to affirm, something that we needed to be proud of. Gay is good. We saw ourselves as part of a much larger political movement, closely influenced by feminism, by black liberation, civil rights movement influences, and so on. And we saw ourselves as part of the left. And that heady combination made Gay Liberation Front, for a very brief period, a sort of magical experience. And if you talk to members of my generation now, they look back at that moment as a magical moment, a utopian moment when everything seemed possible. And if you, it's certainly the case in Britain, you meet younger militants today, they look back as well nostalgically at this period, even though they weren't born at the time, because it seemed a movement where there were no limits to what was achievable. So in many ways, it was very similar to the 1968 moment in France, although the roots of it were quite different. In those early years, I became a gay activist. I became an openly gay activist, and that was central to my life. But also, I became a writer. I struggled in the early days to write some gay journalism. It was unfamiliar to me. But eventually, over the next 4 or 5 years, I began writing books. And I'm afraid I've never stopped. But the aim of those books was really, in the first place, to try to understand my own experience, to try to understand the changes that were going on around me in attitudes to sexuality, attitudes to gender, to the family, and the way these related to wider social movements. The movement for socialism that I was involved in, the movement to challenge restrictive values, restrictive norms. It was an important moment for the wider culture, and it's been enormously influential. But it's important for me because it reorientated the intellectual work I wanted to do. I trained as a historian and a historian of political ideas. I was going to become a political theorist, I imagined. Instead of which, I became a gay theorist, for better or worse. I hope that I was able to bring to bear the strengths of more traditional scholarship, but I think in writing about gay history, gay and lesbian history, and wider sexual history, I was able to contribute to a transformation of the way we see sexuality in society. Not as a private thing, which historians shouldn't be bothered with, but actually as something that was molded in society, shaped in history, changed by struggle, forms of resistance, forms of positive identification, positive affirmations of our sexualities, and indeed our different genders. So the history was at first a part of my activism, and my first book was actually on my first solo book was actually on the history of the movement. Eventually, I suffered the fate of all militants who write. I became an academic. I became a professor. I like to think that my work as it developed was an important contribution, not just to my academic career, but also to the movements and the ideas and the struggles that I believed in.